WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
Good morning. It's 8 a.m. I'm Luke Mathers, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Crews are keeping an eye on the 400 acres in central Wisconsin that were burned in a wildfire yesterday. Terry Bell reports.
Hot, dry conditions are ripe for the kind of fire that broke out early yesterday afternoon near Coloma in Washera County. It's not clear how the fire started. Several people and animals had to be evacuated. While the fire is nearly contained, the Department of Natural Resources says there might still be unburned fuel in the containment area and that the fire risk in central Wisconsin is high. Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
About 93% of Wisconsin is under drought conditions. Groundwater in the area of yesterday's wildfire is also affected by high-capacity wells for crop irrigation. They draw as much as 100,000 gallons of water a day from the ground, but hydrologists say not all the water pumped for irrigation returns to groundwater. There's a move to raise the age for work requirements to be eligible for federal food assistance. It's part of the Farm Bill working its way through Congress. Advocates for low-income Americans say it's a bad idea. Here's Eric Tegethoff with more.
A deal in Congress to raise the debt ceiling includes increasing work requirements for people receiving SNAP from age 50 to 54. Don Pierce with the Hunger Relief Task Force says people will struggle to meet these requirements for many reasons, including physical and medical issues.
If they have to work X amount of hours a week, if they have to do a certain amount of job searches a week, they're not going to receive their benefit, and that's how it makes them hungrier when they raise the work requirements.
About 750,000 Americans are at risk of losing food benefits under this potential change. Lawmakers are scheduled to start debating the Farm Bill in September. I'm Eric Tegedoff.
More Wisconsin tribes are moving toward legalizing marijuana on tribal land. A group called the Indigenous Cannabis Industry Association is meeting to talk about it this week. Founder and CEO Rob Perot says they're talking about the kind of industries that can build tribal economies.
And this isn't just, you know, selling weed at the gas station. This is medicine. This is industrial hemp. This is housing, biofuels. This is making our communities healthier.
Perot was on Upfront on WISN-TV Sunday. A transgender student can use the bathroom associated with their gender identity in southeastern Wisconsin. Last week, a U.S. district court struck down the Maguanago Area School District's bathroom policy that requires students to use the bathroom associated with the sex they were assigned at birth. U.S. District Judge Lynn Edelman cited a 2017 ruling in a similar case in Kenosha that states a school district cannot bar a student from using a bathroom associated with their gender identity. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Luke Mathers, and this is Civic Media News.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwaba. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office is warning people about a phone scam aimed at doctors. The scam involves someone posing as Lieutenant Gruss, an actual official with the Sheriff's Office. The caller claims the doctor missed a court date, then demands money from them to avoid an arrest warrant. The Sheriff's Office is making clear to the public it is not Lieutenant Gruss making calls, adding that deputies would never ask for money over the phone. A motorcyclist is dead after being struck by a pickup truck. The incident happened Sunday evening just after 5:30 in Bailey's Harbor. The Door County Sheriff's Office says a pickup truck was driving north on Highway 57 and turned to go west on County E and hit the man on the motorcycle. The motorcyclist has been identified as 23-year-old Bradley Jordan. Jordan was treated for serious injuries at the scene and later died at the hospital. The driver of the pickup truck and a passenger were uninjured. Pete Schwaba, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Bucks in action tonight. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports.
The Milwaukee Bucks continue their summer league play tonight when they face the Brooklyn Nets in Las Vegas. The Bucks beat the Suns over the weekend thanks to Marjon Beauchamp leading the team with 20 points, although he got off to a slow start.
1-for-7.
1-for-7, okay.
Yes, sir. Really just staying calm. I've been working the whole summer, trusting my work, believing my shot, you know, and it started falling and everything started rolling for me.
tip-off time at 5 o'clock. College football, the Wisconsin Badgers have reinstated linebacker Jordan Turner after a two-week suspension. Turner, who was the number two leader in tackles for the Badgers, was arrested for drunk driving on June 26th. The Wisconsin State Journal says that earlier that month, he was pulled over for going 117 miles an hour on I-39 outside of Milton, Wisconsin. Northwestern University has now fired their head football coach, Pat Fitzgerald, after what they say was more evidence of hazing in their program. Fitzgerald was hired in 2006 by then-athletic director Mark Murphy, now the president and CEO of the Packers. Major League Baseball, the Blue Jays' Vladimir Guerrero Jr. won the home run derby, hitting 72 out of the park.
Toronto, thank you. Blue Jays fan, thank you. I did it. I'm the champ.
His father won the derby in 2007, the first father and son to do so. The All-Star Game coming up tonight at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. Game time, 7 o'clock on Fox. Pitcher Corbin Burns is there representing the Brewers and brought along his son, Carter.
Yeah, it's awesome. You know, being able to represent the Brewers now for 3 years. It's a fun week. It's a fun time. My son's a year older now, so he's going to get to enjoy a little more, too. And maybe remember, it might still be too early, but it's a fun week.
The Brewers' Christian Yelich, who's having a great year, says he doesn't mind getting a few days off.
Yeah, it's nice to reset and get your body a couple day break. I think we had 17 in a row here to finish out the first half, so to get a few days off to recover, you know, physically, mentally is always nice, and then get ready to do it again on Friday with a big series in Cincinnati.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct on WGBW.
Hey, what's happening?
Brother, what's up?
Hey, how you doing?
Big party, man.
Yeah, brother, like it.
Solid. Right on.
As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Earl. It's looking like it's going to be a beautiful day.
Yeah, it is, man. The weather is absolutely perfect. And, you know, man, I'm wearing a red shirt for a reason. I want to do this quickly. Since the start of the pandemic, blood banks across the United States have been calling on eligible donors to come down and help stave off shortages. It's critical that blood banks have enough of a supply for local hospitals, which risk having to make hard choices about who receives immediate treatment and who must wait. How much blood is needed in the United States on a daily basis? The American Red Cross says that every 2 seconds, a person in the United States needs blood and or platelets, making it vital to have a lot banked. Blood is needed from everything from surgeries to traumatic injuries to cancer and sickle cell disease treatments, with roughly 29,000 units of red blood cells, 5,000 units of platelets, and 6,500 units of plasma required on a daily basis. Blood and platelets cannot be made synthetically, making voluntary donations necessary. So why are there blood shortages? I mean, when I read this number, I was astounded. Every year, only 3% of Americans donate blood. That's an unbelievable statistic to me. Only 3% of all Americans donate blood. And as a person who had a couple major surgeries in my life, and I know probably without someone having donated blood to me, I may not be here today. I became a blood donor and have been donating blood. But I'm surprised only 3% of Americans donate blood. About 60% of blood donations are from people who are 40 and older, which is another surprising stat to me. So, you know, that's those statistics themselves and the fact that a couple weeks ago, I donated blood once again. You know, I challenged my my civic media partners in donating blood. And since we have 19 different radio stations, I thought it would be worthy of challenging other hosts and other members of the Civic Media Network to donate blood. There's a major shortage across the state of Wisconsin. It has been. It's even more pronounced now. And so I challenge not only those who are employed by Civic Media, but also you, the audience. And so to the credit of the Civic Media employees and all of those with the skill sets necessary, they have put together a blood donation challenge, a statewide call for the audience to give blood to local centers across Wisconsin. Civic Media is issuing a challenge to its entire audience across the state of Wisconsin to give blood. Blood donation centers are experiencing a nationwide shortage that has continued to linger post-pandemic. Major organizations like the Red Cross have issued a call for help from all local communities. The nation is in a crisis. The network has established a hashtag for its audience to have fun while doing their part. Snapping a selfie during their appointment, posting it on their Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter account, and tagging it with Civic Pints. Hashtag Civic Pints will give them the opportunity to enter for a chance to win some prizes. A listener can visit the webpage to learn how to enter. Again, we'll let you know in the coming days and weeks this information again. But you can go to the Civic Media webpage, civicmedia.us, .blood. And get that webpage, and it'll tell you exactly what it is you have to do. Part of our stated vision is to inspire listeners to engage with what is happening in their local communities. And bringing awarenesses to the issue is a perfect use of power of our network, said Sage Wheel, CEO of Civic Media. We love the idea of our audience coming together to help with such a pressing need. Mike Crute, president and COOC, chief operating officer of the network and host of the Devil's Advocates radio show, for his part, is pushing for a big turnout. Let's give listeners the easiest possible way to donate. Something so easy, even I will be able to do it quickly, and let's help the community, he stated. The webpage enables visitors to find the donation centers in their area and access the website they need to set up their appointment on the spot. Network hosts will be supporting the challenge with information about the ongoing push for donations, including drawings of the prize giveaways throughout the rest of the month of July. This runs from now till the end of the month. And so that's it. We are kicking off again a blood donation drive across all Civic Media networks. We're asking the employees of Civic Media, as well as you, the listening audience, to help do your part in securing blood for many people across the state, across the networks, and across the nation. An urgent, urgent shortage of that supply, of blood supplies to, you know, preserve somebody else's life. And there's nothing you can do more rewarding than that. I'll be continuing to talk about this as other hosts across the networks will be in the coming days. Thanks for listening to that. But I want to talk now about, a crisis in the city of Milwaukee and a decision that has to be made this morning by the Common Council of the city of Milwaukee on whether or not they are going to vote yay to a 2% sales tax increase. It's going to require 10 out of 15 Common Council members who are the aldermen of the city of Milwaukee to say yes to allow the sales tax to take place. It's a tough sale in the city of Milwaukee because the people who are going to be hit the most happen to be the poorest amongst us. And so the push is going to increase the sales tax in the city of Milwaukee from 5% to 7.3%. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal because of what the state legislature put in place to make this such a difficult decision, and that has divided the city of Milwaukee and its residents. It could have been a clean bill. It could have been an opportunity to just say, hey, Milwaukee, we're going to give you an opportunity to raise your sales tax in order to pay the bills. Mainly, the pensions of many police and fire people who have left the city of Milwaukee with the support of the legislature of the state of Wisconsin. And the city of Milwaukee is in the financial state that it's in, mainly because over the last 20 years, the state legislature has refused to return the shared revenue, the proper percentage of the shared revenue that the city of Milwaukee should have been receiving. For 20 years, for two decades, many Republicans on the state level from across this state refused to do the right thing and give Milwaukee its fair share of revenue back. And it put us in a horrific, horrific spot as a city. And facing 2025, the city of Milwaukee would have become insolvent. Now, for the last 15 years, the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County has asked the legislature if we could have a 1 cent increase in sales taxes to balance off our shortfall. And the legislature again said no, repeatedly. No, we're not going to let you do it. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. This morning at 9 o'clock is the vote for the Common Council of the City of Milwaukee that will determine whether or not the City of Milwaukee will become insolvent or whether or not the City of Milwaukee will have another opportunity. 844-967-2789 is the number. What say you? We'll be right back.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
Here's your updated forecast. Mainly clear skies and quiet today, with daytime highs approaching 78. Northerly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows level off around 59. Tonight, partly cloudy skies. Cloudy skies expected. Tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers. High temperatures reach up to 72. Turning warmer Thursday and Friday, with highs from the upper 70s to the mid-80s. Thunderstorms possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 59.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show on WGBW.
It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Yes, this morning at around 9 o'clock, arguably one of the most important votes that's ever been taken by a Milwaukee Common Council in the history of this city is going to take place. And 10 of 15 Alderman people have to say yes to a raising of a 2% sales tax in order to allow the city of Milwaukee to raise enough revenue to address mainly pensions that are owed. And the fact that, you know, the city of Milwaukee has, again, not received its fair share of revenue for over two decades from the state legislature is part and parcel one of the main reasons why we are faced with this crisis. And again, as I stated before the break, the fact that that same legislature refused to allow the city of Milwaukee to raise sales taxes. Finally, at this late 12th hour, now all of a sudden the legislature says, yes, you can raise this sales tax, but there were these poison pills, according to United States Representative Gwen Moore, who urged the council to support the tax. She said while it includes poison pills inserted by state Republicans, the council's vote was solely about whether there will be enough revenue to provide basic city services in the years ahead. So what are the poison pills? The poison pills basically say to the city of Milwaukee that they must maintain a certain level of law enforcement. Whether or not there are the resources or not, that we would be forced to maintain this level of law enforcement, even if it meant cutting garbage collection and snow removal. People from across the state who don't live in the city of Milwaukee made this demand on us, did not give us the right of self-determination. And they put this in place. The money can only be used. Demanded that 25 law enforcement officers be placed inside of Milwaukee Public Schools, even though Milwaukee Public Schools did not ask for it. Poison pills that have tainted the water and tainted the decisions of the aldermen. They also had taken away the autonomy of the Fire and Police Commission, a citizen review board, which was in a position to oversee whether or not law enforcement has overstepped their bounds. That had nothing to do with the legislature, but all of those things were put into this bill, which made the alder people hesitant. And I understand why. And that no money can be spent on diversity training at all. Let's go to the phone lines and David from Mequon. Good morning to you, David. You say what?
Hey, good morning, Earl. Well, first of all, it's going to pass. There's no question. A few of them are certainly going to say no, just to go back to the residents saying, I voted for against this, but at the end of the day, you mentioned that Milwaukee's not gotten its fair share all these years.
That's a fact, but, man.
The fact is that the city had an opportunity of switching the pension system over to the state system many, many, many years ago, which it did not.
Hey, David, I understand that.
I'm just telling you.
You know, David, that has nothing to do with today. The people who were in a position to do that, who made those decisions, are no longer there. And so to hold the city of Milwaukee accountable for decisions that were made by people who are no longer there, it's not right.
So you may think it's not right, but the reality is the comptroller warned about this years ago, saying that the Milwaukee pension system
I understand that, okay? Because I've been in the city for 69 years. But there are others who don't understand it. And there are people today who weren't even around when those decisions were made. So why should everybody suffer for the decisions that were made? It's no different than the decisions that were made at Milwaukee County when then county executive, what was his name?
Yeah, it was Tom Amon.
Made his decision. Yeah. So to say that all these years later, taxpayers of the city of Milwaukee County should suffer because of a decision that Tom Amon, who's been gone for almost 20 years, that makes no sense.
Well, but that's what happens when you really make a screwed up decision.
Hey,
what happens.
Hey,
it's when you hear the adage, the chickens that come home the roost.
Hey, David. There have been screwed up decisions made all over this nation. And people don't sit back and say, well, punish the rest of the nation forever because of the screwed up decision that was made by somebody prior. So why should that be the case in the city of Milwaukee? I understand the realities of the way the state looks at the city of Milwaukee. Because we live in such a segregated state, I understand the rationale behind it. You can use whatever rationale it is you want to use, but it's not right. We got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call.
On WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Justin Finch. Secretary of State Antony Blinken speaking to ABC News from Lithuania about the admission of Sweden into NATO, now that Turkey has put its objections aside.
Our alliance is stronger, it's bigger with the addition of Sweden on top of Finland. It's more united than it's ever been. And among other things, that sends a very strong message to Vladimir Putin, that he's not going to outlast Ukraine. He's not going to outlast NATO.
Discussions this week include whether Ukraine should be allowed into NATO after the conflict with Russia is over. ABC News speaking to the parents of Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich. His mother says President Biden has spoken to them, promising to do whatever it takes to get Gershkovich home. Parts of Texas continuing to swelter through a string of 100-degree days, 25 of them so far in El Paso, extreme temperatures in Arizona as well. This is ABC News.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
For the Talk of Green Bay News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what Green Bay needs to know.
There is news on the condition of a child who fell into a bonfire in Fond du Lac last Saturday. Authorities say the child is a one-year-old boy and that the incident happened in a backyard. The boy is recovering at a Madison hospital. Officials say he suffered burns to his arms and upper body, but his condition is improving.
Police are looking for a Manitowoc man and are asking the public for help. The Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office say they're looking for 24-year-old Nathan Holen. Holen led police on a high-speed chase last Friday morning around 10 a.m. The chase started when Holen refused to pull over and ended when he crashed into a utility pole near Main Street and Woodward Street in the village of Brandon. Despite his car being totaled, Holen managed to evade authorities, who set a perimeter and called in the canine unit. While searching Holen's car, authorities found fentanyl as well as a large amount of cash. Anyone with information regarding Holen's whereabouts should call the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office. Pete Schwabe, WGBW 97.9 News.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., the Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, the Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin.
At noon, Civic Media Network News.
At 12:15, Town Call.
1 to 3, the Todd Alba Show.
3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct.
4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude.
And 6 to 7, the Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
At 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Again, this morning at 9 o'clock, shortly, one of the most important decisions ever made in the city of Milwaukee by the Common Council is going to be made. and the solvency, no question whatsoever, of the city of Milwaukee is at stake, in jeopardy. And so, you know, to, as Dave was saying earlier, well, you know, people made decisions 15, 20 years ago that, you know, set this into motion. And yes, there were elected officials who made some decisions that certainly were impactful. And maybe had they realized 20 years later the impact of the decisions that they made, we wouldn't be here. But to say that those of us who still live in the city, who are still paying taxes, who are paying property taxes, and that all of us should suffer because of some decisions that were made by elected officials 20 years ago is ridiculous. And also the fact that, again, all of those things we could have overcome had the legislature not been so dead set against Milwaukee. So, Dave, I remember, since you want to go back, I remember when then-Governor Tommy Thompson said, stick it to Milwaukee. You remember that? I do. He told the legislature to stick it to Milwaukee. And guess what the legislature has been doing ever since he made that statement? The governor of the state of Wisconsin, sticking it to Milwaukee. Let's go to the phone lines and Tom from L.A. Hey, good morning to you, Tom. How you doing, man?
Hey, Earl. I'm doing okay. First, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. And a vote like this means that everyone needs to stand strong together. But the reason I wanted to call was just to alert everybody when it comes to blood donation in the gay community that they can now give blood. There was a ban on that for years and years. That's no longer a ban. So when Civic Media talks about these blood drives for my, for gay people, gay men, they can give blood. So I just wanted to let you guys know that kind of a public service.
And that is a good thing, because when you look and see that only 3% of the population donates blood, we need blood from as many sources as we can get it from.
Absolutely. Maybe keep on reminding people of that as well, Earl, because it's been a ban since 1980s. So just might want to keep reminding people that gay men can give blood and bisexual men can give blood.
All right.
Thank you.
Tom, thank you very much for the call. So I want to go back to, again, what has transpired and what's created the environment that the city of Milwaukee is faced with and the citizens of the city of Milwaukee. So the poison pill that Congresswoman Gwen Moore was talking about was this. Alan Chevalier described the shared revenue bill as one of the worst deals we've ever seen. To a round of applause at a community meeting. Chevalier is a professor at Milwaukee Area Technical College. He credited diversity and inclusion programs for allowing him to become a professor. Part of the decision that was made by, again, the state legislature, led by the coward Robin Voss, was that no dollars can be spent on diversity and inclusion. There wouldn't be a situation where the Common Council had to make a decision on whether or not to say yes to signing this, to saying yes to the 2-cent sales tax increase, if that language had not been in there. But they put that language in there. The question becomes, why? Why was it so important for the legislature, who claimed to be concerned about whether or not the city of Milwaukee was going to remain solvent, the economic engine of this state, Why did they have to put that no dollars can be used for diversity and inclusion? This is Mayor Johnson on yesterday. Again, after the Professor Chevalier spoke, this is what Chevalier said. You were sold a wooden nickel. He told a group of city officials, including Westmoreland, Alderman Westmoreland, Kovac Bowl, and Mayor Cavalier Johnson. And you paid as if it was a golden nickel. Kentris Newell spoke in support of the tax, saying that he wanted to see it pass for Milwaukee to grow. But like other speakers Monday night, he said Milwaukee wasn't getting a fair deal. Arguing the state's largest city generates commerce not matched by the revenue the state returns to Milwaukee. Newell specifically cited the elimination of residency requirements for police officers as a problem for the city. I said it back when they did it. And the then Mayor Tom Barrett, who argued vociferously against the state making a decision to give police, fire, and other people who work for the city an opportunity to leave the city and move to wherever they wanted to live, and then take those tax dollars out of our city. That law stood for over 100 years, and it had been understood that if you wanted to work for the city, you had to live in the city. But the state legislature, the conservative controlled state legislature, went against the city of Milwaukee and a law that had stood for over 100 years and allowed 40, what now is over 40% of law enforcement and fire to move outside of the city. And I remember during that debate that the police union and the fire union said, oh, that's not going to happen. They're not going to move outside of the city. Well, sure enough, over 40% left the city. And I remember arguing even back then that those jobs don't belong to individuals. Those jobs belong to the taxpayers. So if you're police and fire and you worked in the city of Milwaukee, those jobs were not yours. They belong to the city of Milwaukee. And if you really wanted to live in the different places that they moved to, then become a police or a fireman in the places where you live. They have police and fire there. But to be able to take the jobs and the resources for the city outside of the city, a decision that has been made for over 100 years and been allowed to be made by the legislature then, was changed under Scott Walker's legislature and the Republican legislature of today. It helped put the city of Milwaukee in the hole that it's in. And so it's led to all of these problems. And I get a little perturbed at people like David who want to talk about, well, you know, these decisions that were made years ago, you guys have to stew in it. No, we don't. No, we don't. Because whether or not people who live outside of Milwaukee want to accept it or believe it or not, if Milwaukee suffers, if Milwaukee can no longer pay its bills, if you think the state of Wisconsin is going to remain solvent with the largest city and the economic engine of the state in bankruptcy, you're sadly mistaken. More than half of 3,000 city workers who moved outside Milwaukee are police and fire. Let me also add this. Sales tax options come after months of negotiations. These negotiations went on for a long time. These negotiations were requested by former Mayor Tom Barrett for over a decade. He saw this coming. And he tried to have these discussions on the state level, and he was stymied at every turn. Former County Executive Chris Abley tried to have these discussions on the state level. They were stymied at every turn. They knew this day was coming. All of us knew this day was coming. Well, now the day is here. The coward, Robin Voss, said, well, we decided that we're going to do this now because we have a new county executive and a new mayor. So had County Executive Chris Abley remained, had Tom Barrett remained, then Robin Voss would not, and the legislature would not even have considered this 2-cent sales tax. They would have done what they've done over the last 20 years, said no. So the city of Milwaukee is in the position it's in because of politics. Make no mistake about it. And yes, as a taxpayer and a homeowner, I'm definitely frustrated with where we are and the fact that we can lose it all. Based on these rotten games that were played in Madison. Well, you know, we threw you guys a bone. You didn't throw anybody a bone. Well, we did. Yeah. Didn't we say it's okay now for you to raise your sales tax? Well, you didn't for the last 20 years. And things got worse. And now all of a sudden, You say, okay, well, we're listening now. Question is, why weren't you listening before? The same conditions that were around at that point in time are here today. The only difference is these pension payouts have you know, reached their fruition and that they're due. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show. We'll be right back.
Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin. If you are a veteran struggling to pay for rent, utilities, or other life-sustaining services, I want you to know that the Veterans Rental Assistance Program is here to help. You have already made a most noble sacrifice. You shouldn't have to continue doing so. We are here to support you. The Veterans Rental Assistance Program was created by and for people living in Wisconsin, with benefit approvals being issued to veterans in just days, not months. It's never easy to ask for assistance, but rest assured, we're here to help. You've always been there for us. We want you to know that we're here for you. Call 833-WISVRAP. That's 833-947-8727. Or visit VRAPWI.com. On behalf of the state of Wisconsin, thank you.
Bug Tussle, providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin. No data caps, no contracts. 877-227-0924. Call today to learn how you can get 3 months free. 877-227-0924.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Highs level off around 78 this afternoon under mainly clear skies, north winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Tonight, lows around 59. Chance for scattered rain showers. Tomorrow, highs around 72. Overcast skies. Turning warmer Thursday and Friday with highs from the upper 70s to the mid 80s. Storms possible both days. To recap, we should top out at 78 this afternoon. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 59.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 AM, The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
On WGBW.
I've always been the kind of guy who could handle almost anything. I've had money and cars, expensive girls and bars, and I've always had my own song to sing. Oh, but you came along, changed the sound of my song, and I've never ever felt like this before. Can this be real? This love is here in my heart for you, baby.
All right, and welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Oh, what a wicked web we weave when we practice to deceive. Chris Christie, a candidate for the Republican nomination for the United States, the presidency of the United States. You remember Chris Christie, the guy who was backing up Donald Trump and at the time people were explaining just who and what Donald Trump was, and Chris Christie was fighting for Donald Trump. Man, that was his man. That's my guy, man. I can't let you, treat him like that. Donald Trump is the man. I support him 100%. You remember Chris Christie, former governor of New Jersey? Man, he was all in for Donald Trump. But Donald Trump turned on him like he's turned on everybody who was all in for him. Well, Chris Christie is running for president again, and he's got a lot to say. And he's taking Donald Trump on, you know, face to face, insult to insult. He knows he doesn't have a snowball's chance in hell of winning. But he clearly wants people to understand who Donald Trump is. So Chris Christie called out Donald Trump's false bravado and predicted he would eventually accept a plea agreement to avoid prison. In my lifetime, if we offer you a plea, which I'm certain they will, and you turn us down and take us to trial and you're convicted, that judge is sending you to jail, said Christie, a former U.S. attorney for New Jersey. I think that that's what he goes to bed every night thinking, he meaning Donald Trump, every night. All this bravado and everything else, I've known him for 22 years. When I was doing these cases in New Jersey, I'd put political figures in jail. He'd say to me, I could never do that. I could never go to jail. I'm telling you, no matter what he says, no matter how he's bragging and going on and on about him not being afraid, he goes to bed every time thinking about the sound of the jail cell door closing behind him. So the point of all that is to say, when push comes to shove, I'm not so sure he won't take the plea, because if that's the only way he knows he can avoid prison, I think he just may. That's what Republican voters need to think about. You could be confronted with that issue with someone who maybe even is, you know, your party's nominee. There's no reason for us to give Joe Biden that type of tilted playing field to play on. It's not fair for the country. It's not good for my party. And that's what Chris Christie has had to say and continue to say about a man who is the leading front runner for the Republican nomination for the presidency of the United States. He is lengthening his lead over Ron DeSantis. Donald Trump is not even a race at all. And you have to wonder, again, for all these people who know what Donald Trump is up against, you know what he's up against. You know what they have on him. They've got the goods on him. And yet you still are going to vote for him. You still support him. You know what he is. You know he's a liar. You know he's a scam artist. You know he's committed these crimes. And yet you still think he's the person that should be the president of the United States? Well, I don't. It's not that I think so much of, you know. Let's go quickly. CJ, quickly. Quickly.
Hey, Earl. Thanks for taking my call. You know, you start to sound like Adam Schiff. A representative that lied to us for 2.5 years.
Hey, the liar is Donald Trump, my friend. The liar is Donald Trump.
Good. Come on, man.
The liar is Donald Trump.
You can't be serious.
Donald Trump is the liar. He's the one who Adam Schiff, the last time I checked, has not been indicted on anything. Donald Trump has.
Uncensored for lying to the American people for 2.5 years.
Hey, who cares? So, who cares? Donald Trump is running for president of the United States, and he's in courts all over the nation, man. What are you talking about?
Do you care, Earl, that he lied to the American people?
Adam Schiff is not running for president of the United States. Donald Trump is. Donald
how
Trump
about
is
your
the guy.
Candidate that's taken, how about your candidate that's taken
I'm not talking about,
dollars?
Hey, we're talking about the man who is running for president of the United States as we speak. And he is in courts, 10 to 12 different courts. They're waiting on him. What are you talking about, man?
I'm talking about Joe Biden.
Taking
money from China.
It doesn't matter.
President.
It doesn't matter how you try to shift that around, CJ. As Chris Christie, a fellow Republican like you, has mentioned, Donald Trump is a criminal, and Donald Trump is going to plead, as he's pleaded the fifth before. Donald Trump is going to plead, and take the plea deal rather than go to jail. He's a criminal, man. That's who you're defending, a criminal.
How about Robert F. Kennedy, what he says about...
Thank you very much for the call, man. Okay. Hey, man. Hey, we got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by Ms. Rhonda Cummings. She's a life coach, diversity consultant, and director of a national nonprofit. We'll be right back.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734. It's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute. Weekdays from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590.